This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, my next guest, how many people can brag about this, holding a Guinness World Record? I don't know anyone. Have you met anyone that holds a Guinness World Record? Well, I don't. And he's also a filmmaker. Tez, are you there?
Yes, I am, David.
Hello, and welcome to Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, give us your full name, because it's a little bit of a mouthful for us Aussies, isn't it? But you're an Aussie as well.
Australian bred and born, yeah. Melbourne bred and born, yeah.
Yep.
No,
go on. Give us your name.
Yeah, so my name's Tez V. Trung. I'm also credited as Tez Frost, which is my screen directing name.
Right.
Sometimes you'll probably get a mixture of both.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you do that? Why have you got this mixture of two names? Because it is a bit confusing when you try to do a bit of research on you.
Yeah, interesting question. Look, Tez Frost is, I guess, my IMDb name, which is what filmmakers would go by. That's how they've researched me on IMDb and through, I guess, their records. Tez V. Trung is probably something I use more for admin purposes.
Right.
Professionally. So, right. You'll see, three emails, you'll probably see one, and then on Google, you'll see something else.
Yeah. Now, what is your background? Where's your heritage?
I'm Chinese. So my parents are Vietnamese-born Chinese.
Yep.
Without getting into the history of it all, they were kind of exiled from their country of birth and came to Australia and had me.
Right. Oh, okay. And do they talk about, back in their home countries and all that very much, or have they moved forward into, their new life here?
It's probably not a new life anymore, so... back then, they probably did, but we were probably too young to really understand what was going on.
Yeah.
It's not something that we talk about very often in terms of, in a historical sense, of course. But, family life, we're always going to carry culture wherever they go.
Yeah.
So culturally speaking, yes. Yeah, we still eat Chinese food. We still, they still watch their Chinese TV and all that kind of stuff. But no, we're very much... grounded here in Melbourne.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And give us a background on who you are. Filmmaker, and we'll get into the Guinness World Record a little bit later, but where did all that start? Where was the interest? Were you a little kid running around with a camera or?
Oh, no, absolutely not, no.
Oh.
No. I started quite late, I guess. I actually did a marketing degree first, and went into a full-time job and all that. But during that time, I guess I had the resources and the time to follow my interests. And at that time, I've always wanted to be a storyteller in a sense, where I'm always creating characters and creating a world setting and all that. But most of it was just pen and paper. So in 2008. That's when I kind of decided, hey, I want to make a feature film. And that was my first film. And that was against industry recommendations. And, it was very, it was just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, where did you get the money from? Because, to make a feature film, it's not cheap.
Yeah, so I got like-minded people to just team up together.
Okay.
And, some people had the resources. Some guys had the camera equipment. Some guys knew someone who... Yeah, cheap hiring and studio time and all that kind of stuff. And you just kind of get into it without knowing, because once you know, you kind of stand back and go, oh, this is too hard. but I just didn't know. So, I just jumped in and I was lucky enough to win a few awards, and that kind of, that's when I caught the bug and went, oh, okay, this is good. This is what I should be doing.
Yeah.
That took me to Hawaii. I won an award that time. Went to Hawaii. And I picked up an award there and won a few more in Mexico, Las Vegas, and all that. And, during that time, I was speaking to I met a lot of other filmmakers in networking sessions and all that, and they're like, hey, you should really pursue this professionally and actually hone your craft. Don't just do this, you know, on weekends. Actually, you know, pursue this as a thing that you're going to do, that you're going to known for, that be known for. So, so I started, I went to film school for a bit, did a grad cert in film directing at Aptus, and that was in Melbourne. So after that, I just went, you know what, I'm going to go out there and see how other people do this. This filmmaking business. Melton is such a small place in terms of productions. I mean, we get big productions, but there aren't many.
Yep.
It's not something you talk about every day.
Yep.
So I decided to go to Hong Kong.
Right.
And that's kind of where a lot of my heroes were. The film directors like Wong Kar-wai and cinematographer Christopher Doyle and all that kind of stuff. I went there and I even did a short stint with Harvey Weinstein. So,
oh, whoa.
So there were opportunities there to actually do, you know, these things that you wouldn't be able to do, in Melbourne, working a full-time job. From then I moved to Beijing as well. I didn't do much film work there, but I did shoot my own film there, Little Hands, which is a film that broke the Guinness World Record.
Yep.
That story kind of led me to the Disney writing team. So I did a short stint with Disney as well, writing their TV animation.
That alone is, you can live off of that for the rest of your life, can't you?
I don't know. Well, it's not really paying me at the moment.
professionally, working for Disney, hello.
Yeah, well, it gives you a credibility.
Yeah.
It gives you a bit of ammo when you go into meetings and when you go into, talk about productions and projects. It does give you a lot of credibility in that sense, especially as a storyteller, because people just go, oh, anyone can write. So, well, have you written for Disney? Well, if you haven't, then, let me talk kind of thing. But you use it wisely. I mean, I wasn't there for 10 years or anything. I was just there on a project as a storyline and then writing an episode.
Right.
So it was great experience. It got to a point where, I think I can do this. I don't really need to listen to everyone's opinions. I should actually learn what works and what doesn't. And especially coming back to Melbourne, I came back to Melbourne to get married and have kids and all that kind of stuff. But coming back here, I kind of came back with a lot of experience that kind of backed me up, where I can say, hey, I can actually do this. I just haven't seen other people like me doing it. If you're talking culturally, I haven't seen anyone that looks like me, writing stories or, directing and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it gave me an opportunity to come back and do this.
Right. So let's talk about Little Hands.
Sure.
What's it about and why did you, why do you now have the Guinness World Record for this?
Sure. Look, it's a bit of a long, winding journey, so please chime in if you feel like it's, gone astray. When I moved to Asia, I was teaching English there, and that was for survival reasons, for visa reasons.
Sure.
And to know the culture, when you jump into a new country, and I have a Chinese background, I don't speak Chinese that fluently. I'm fluent enough, but not to pose as one of them kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting because I was there as an English teacher, but, obviously with a Chinese face, they were kind of like, why would I hire a Chinese guy to teach English? It's like going to a Chinese restaurant and see a white guy chopping up duck. I'm not going to go for that. So it was very interesting. That was very, that was script writing material for me. And, I was often teaching in storage rooms and real classroom were given to white dudes. And I was like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. But it did. And it made me, it forced me to become a better teacher and better at my job as a professional. And that kind of inspired me to write this story about a relationship between a student and a teacher and actually exploring who the real teacher and who the real student is. So that film was called Little Hand, and it was a 30-minute film that I shot in Beijing. I had a lot of support from the locals, some good cinematographers, a good cinematographer and a good team. And, it was very well received during private screenings in Asia and, led to a job at Disney, of course. But when I brought it back to Australia to play it at an Adelaide film festival, it was playing to a crying audience of about 20 people.
Mm.
So I was kind of disheartened and thought, man, this deserves a, you know, a larger audience.
Yeah,
and that's when it sparked the idea to translate it into other languages. I thought if I could actually get this to a wider audience, maybe more people would see it and they'd appreciate it more. And I didn't really know whether that was the right thing to do, going for more rather than quality.
Yeah.
So I just kind of left it and thought, oh, look, this is too hard for now. You know, I've made the film, it's played, and now let's move on to the next project. But as time went on, because I put the film on Facebook and whatnot, a lot of people came back and said, hey, do you have this in French or Arabic? Because, you know, I want to show this to my teacher, I want to show this to my family. And I thought, man, well, maybe I should, you know, go down this translation kind of journey. So I spoke to my audio engineer and we were discussing how it was possible and if we were to do it, how many languages would we do? Would we just do five and, you know, which five? All these questions came up. And I thought, if we were to go down this path, maybe we could break a record because if we do more than 10 languages, it's going to be, you know, if there's nothing at the end of the rainbow, like nothing at the end of this journey, it's probably not going to sustain our interest in actually working so hard to reach this goal. So I started looking into it, applied to Guinness, and they were just rejecting our applications one by one. And I just thought, you know, let's keep going. You know, if they accept it, then we'll see. So early 2020, early last year, that's when they kind of went, all right, you're in. You know, you've got a shot. Just don't mess it up. Here, you know, here are the conditions. You have a year to do it. And we're like, well, okay, let's treat this with all seriousness now. Let's actually try and do this. So I got back with the audio engineer. We formulated a plan, booked in studio time, hired all these bilingual actors, or at least started casting. And then COVID hit.
Good old COVID.
That was right after the announcement. So no more meetups, no more studio time, no more actors, you know, Guinness World Record dreams shattered. So that was a big hit to us. However, we started, we had nothing to lose because we didn't put in money, we didn't put in any time into it yet, except for just the actual plan and the strategizing. So I asked the audio engineer if this was something that was possible remotely, if we can actually complete this remotely. And he said, look, you can, but each actor would have to have their own recording studio or at least access to it, and it's going to be almost impossible because, you know, there were over 100 actors to manage globally, and so it was going to be a logistical nightmare. But also, because everyone was in lockdown, it wasn't just Melbourne, it was like everyone in the world. So, yeah, so it was a bit of a nightmare, but I thought, you know what, stuff it. Let's start with one and, you know, see how we go. So I did. I started with one and then two and then four, and next thing you know, I'm up at, you know, at 1 a.m. and waking up at 4 a.m., you know, on top of the full-time job. And, yeah, it was tough, but it was possible, Dave. You know?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, you know what, I can't believe I'm doing this because it's actually possible. And people need to know about this because whenever you feel like something's impossible and you don't want to just kind of quit or you just put it aside, that's when you should just keep on going.
Mm.
And that's how I felt. You know, it was really possible. I had all the energy to go until baby number two came along. And then I was proper screwed and it was game on. I was staying with my one-year-old daughter and I had another baby. That time she was one and she was clinging to my arm every night. I couldn't work, but I could work one-handed with a smartphone. Or if I was lucky enough to sit up on my bed, I can actually work with a laptop with a hard drive stuck to it.
Yeah.
So, I eventually completed the 21 language translations from my bed and submitted it to Guinness.
Wow. How many? How many was it?
21 in the
21.
End.
21. Wow.
Yeah.
Look, good on you. Good on that. And thank you for telling us the journey as well, but not to give up. And, you know, like, and the fact is, and what does it mean now? Well, one, you've got the Guinness World Record, but what does it mean? You know, is it so many more people seeing it and that satisfaction of being able to do it?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's the film that I want people to see now. It's more the journey that I've actually gone through.
Yeah,
it's the story behind the film.
Yeah,
that is more important to me.
Yeah,
the story of how I wrote it in the first place, that was important to me then. But now it's more, hey guys, this is what I did during lockdown, and if you have your own project, maybe you can find these key points that are applicable to your own ambitious journeys and apply to that.
Yep.
But that's not it, Dave. That's not the end. Once I finished the Guinness World Record, there's more. So basically, I had a friend that came up to me while I was waiting for this certificate to come. I had a friend who's also a mentor. So this guy Rowan Jones, who's a writer director, who had his film shortlisted for an Oscar. He was kind of mentoring during my filmmaking career for the last 10 years. So and he asked me how old I was when I directed my first film. And I said I was about 26 because I was trying to emulate Orson Welles, trying to copy him because he did Citizen Kane when he was 26.
Yeah.
It was quite amazing. So I thought, you know what, it's probably time for me to make a second one. But I can't because I've got no money, no scripts, no crew, no actors, no equipment, 2 babies, and we're in lockdown. So, that's just kind of a dream. But then I thought, you know what? Challenge accepted. Just sign the form first. Just sign the dotted line and then deal with it later. So that's kind of what I told myself. Like, sign the form first, sign the contract, and then deal with it.
Yep.
So that's exactly what I did. And applying the same drive and the same mindset, I completed a 72-minute full-length feature film.
Whoa.
In 3 months.
Whoa.
In 3 months' time. So that was one version the first version that I did, with editing, with sound, with music. And not only that, I have to really think creatively, is this something that I'm going to do with pen and paper? Is this something I'll do with photographs, stock footage? How am I going to do this? In the end, I completed a full-length feature film. And
what's that called?
It's called We Don't Say Retard Anymore.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So all that information is on my Facebook page.
Right.
So
okay.
It's also groundbreaking in the respect that the lead actor, he's a disabled actor.
Yeah.
With Tourette's syndrome and a central nervous system disorder, and also with a performing artist with albinism.
Right.
So it was just one of those things where, look, I just kind of let it lead me into the rabbit hole.
And unfortunately, we're running out of time, coming up to the hour, and you would know all about time. how do we find your stuff? What's your social media?
Yep, so it's just facebook.com/TezFilm, TEZFILM.
Right. Tez, you're brilliant. You're amazing. We want to get you in the studio one day when we can have people back in. You're incredible.
Oh, mate, it's my pleasure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on the record and for never giving up. Good on you.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. See you soon.
All right, see you later. What an amazing story. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.